Every one of us can make a difference. Every one of us. Just one person makes the whole difference. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 31 says, Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would bless your word, that you would use us to please you and to bring glory and honor to your holy name. I pray, Heavenly Father, that this night you'd be uplifted. Heavenly Father, if there's a lost person here, I pray they'd be saved. Someone whose heart's not right, I pray they'd get right. Guide us, please, by thy Holy Spirit. I pray that the words would be yours and not mine. God, make us to know the joy of serving Jesus. And I pray that before we turn around, that all the people that are present tonight will be saved and happy and soul winners, reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. We thank you now and we'll praise you in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. The Bible has a lot to say about what God has done. It talks about creation. And in the creation, God saw that everything he had made was absolutely perfect. He saw all that it was, and he said, and behold, it was very good. Now, that means it's somewhat good. Now, if God says it's very good, you know, you can go up over here to the factory where they make the cars, and they say, man, we've got good cars. You know, we make good cars, and you go out there and try to start one just off the assembly line, and it don't go. It don't start. I can remember when we ordered a vehicle one time when I was a kid, a van. I won't tell you what kind it was, but its initials was F-O-R-D. But anyway, we ordered this vehicle. It came down and on a truck, and we picked it up at the place there in Corpus Christi to take to Mexico. We got about 15 miles, and it wouldn't go no more. Dad crawled underneath there. There was a hole about that big in the side of the transmission, and there were no bolts between the motor and the transmission. Everything was all messed up. We had it towed back to the place, and they said, man, you got a lemon. Well, back then, there was no lemon laws, you know. But they tried to fix it. Well, they tried to fix it for 2 years. And finally, we left it go. But you know, the guy that sold it to Dad said this, when he was ordered, said, this vehicle is just what you need. I mean, they really make these things good. Now, I know that there are a lot of those vehicles. In fact, in Mexico, that's the vehicle that holds up the best. But that's neither here nor there. Man, when he makes things, he always messes it up. Isn't that right? But when God makes something and says it's very good, boy, I mean, that means it's really superb. I mean, it's perfect. But you know, man come along. God made man. And boy, I tell you what, the old man come along and he messed it all up. Isn't that right? Right down the road, just a couple of chapters, in fact, in the sixth chapter of Genesis, it says in verse number 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. My goodness. Here, just a few generations down, just a few, in fact, the first generation, the second generation, Adam and Eve's son, murdered his brother. You know, then their grandson murdered one of the other grandchildren. And all kinds of stuff went on. And you know, man just messed the whole world up. And we look around us today and we see that the world is in a pathetic mess. I think nothing's ever drawn it ever home so real as you thinking everything is just running along great than something that happened to me the other day. March the 5th, I sat down at my computer to do some work. And I was excited. I'm going to put this virus program in there and make sure I don't have any viruses in there. But before I do that, I'm going to write a few letters. Well, I always date my letters one day ahead. So I typed into my computer the next date and changed the date on the computer. So I would write the letters and it would date them, and then I go on. Well, I was about an hour and a half into doing the letters, and all of a sudden a little white dot got on the screen. And then it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden I just saw little O's and X's all over the place. Then all of a sudden my letter disappeared. Then everything in my computer was gone. And it still don't work right. They can't fix part of it. Well, they can fix it for $800 and something. But, you can buy a new computer for that. But I want to tell you something, folks. That shows how even a little sin that you don't even think is there will ruin everything. It will. I mean, it just gets into things and messes it all up. And that's our nature. That's our nature. You know something, though? Over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, and verse number 20 to 23, Joseph had Mary betrothed to him for a wife. They hadn't come together or anything. And one day Mary comes to Jesus with this news. Mary comes to Joseph with this news. I mean, it was shocking news to Joseph. She said, "Joseph, I'm going to have a baby." I mean, boy, that was shocking to Joseph. I don't know what all he told her or what all happened, but I'm sure it wasn't very pleasant. And Joseph was thinking about putting her away privately. But God spoke to Joseph. And in Matthew 1, 20 to 23, it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now I don't know about you, but I imagine Joseph did a few somersaults, shouted a few amens and hallelujahs and glory to God. I don't know what he did. And maybe he ran around the building a few times. Then he settled down a minute and then he talked to Mary. Now Mary was quieter about it. She just pondered the things in her heart. But Joseph said, I'm sure he said something like this: "Mary, can you imagine what this means?" "Well, what are you thinking about, Joseph?" You know, God is using you for a vessel to bring salvation to Israel, to bring redemption to the world. God says that the hope of Israel is within you. He shall save the people from their sin. Can you imagine? Boy, and I imagine Joseph was just excited as can be. I remember when the doctor told Diane that we were going to have our first child, Davina. I had over $300 telephone call bill that month. I called everybody I didn't know, and then those that I did know. Everybody I could think of, and I got all a list of the supporters that supported my mom and dad, and I called all of them, and I got a list of the churches in Ohio, and I called all of the pastors. "Oh, pray for us, we're going to have a baby." You know, some of the pastors, I remember Brother Henry's reaction, just a big smile, "Well, congratulations, Brother Dave."
And it was, you know, like everybody said, well, you know, this guy'll get over it.
But you know something? I was excited. But I'm sure Joseph was even more so. Here, the hope of the world, the hope, the salvation for all mankind was to be born of the lady that was to be his wife and became his wife. And later on, they had five other children at least, because the Bible talks about at least five of them. Names the four boys, right? Names? Yeah, four boys. And then it says that they had sisters. So that was at least six children that they had. But anyhow, that's beside the point tonight, what I'm trying to tell you. Here, Mary was having the hope within her. Folks, when we went to Mexico, we got down there, and we were preaching. I was preaching a revival in Boca del Rio, Veracruz, and in a church that was pastored by a national, not a church that I started, but this guy, this pastor friend of mine that I helped to, him and I worked side by side to start several of the missions that we started, and two of them that are churches today. But anyway, I was preaching for Brother Benny in a revival, and we had gone out that day passing out gospel tracts and invitations. We passed out several thousand but among all the church people that day. We get on all the buses. We just start at 5 o'clock in the morning, and 4:30 in the afternoon, we quit and went to the church, had a bite, and then got ready for the revival meeting that night. Well, one of the guys we had invited that was standing in front of a bar, he's about so tall, and his name was Nicasio. Well, he came to church that night. He stood up against the back over on this side, and the back of the wall was fresh plastered. And he had cowboy boots with those metal taps on them and them silver pointed toes. And, you know, he just rubbed it up and down his boots on the wall and just digging a hole in it. Boy, and I was getting madder and madder. And finally, I couldn't preach. I finally just stopped and I said, "Sir, you know, if you'd sit down on that vacant pew right in front of you, I could keep on preaching." He said, "No, I'm drunk." And he didn't sit down. Well, I just put it in the hands of the Lord. Okay, Lord, you know. I get mad quick and I get over it quick. But anyway, so I said, "Okay, Lord, it's yours." And we went on preaching. About 10 minutes before time to finish preaching, we were preaching that night on hope. On hope. The hope of the world is Jesus Christ. The only way we can have our burdens lifted is to have Jesus Christ. The only way we can have peace within us is to have Jesus Christ. The only way that we can have security for eternity is to have Jesus Christ. The only way we can have peace with our fellow man is to have Jesus Christ. About 10 minutes before the sermon was ended, I said, "Tonight, at the end of the sermon, we're going to give an invitation and invite whoever of you would like to have that hope within you, would like to receive Christ as your personal Savior and be forgiven of all your filthy sins. We'd like to invite you to come forward and receive Christ as your personal Savior during the invitation." Well, he didn't wait. He come a-running down the aisle just to holler in his high-pitched voice, "I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I want to get saved, oh, I want to get saved, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner." Just a-bawling like a baby. Got right down in front of the pulpit and flat of his belly, just a-bawling and crying out, "Oh, I'm a sinner, I want to get saved, I want to get saved." I said, "Brother Benny, would you take this man out and talk to him a minute?" So he took him out and talked to him. After service, that night two other people got saved. But after the service, Nicasio and Benny came back in. And Benny said, "He has something to tell you." And he said, "Brother Dave, I got saved tonight. And I have that hope in me now. And I want to ask if you would please come to Suchi, which is my town, and tell my people how they can have that same hope too. Tell them how they can have peace too. Tell them how their sins and their burdens can be lifted too. We have a wicked town and we need somebody to tell us how." I said, "Well, we'd be glad to, but we have to get first permission from the mayor so we could go do it." He says, "Oh, that's all right." He says, "I am the mayor." He said, "In fact," said, "you won't have no trouble with the law because I'm the sheriff." says, and I'm the treasurer of the town. A town of 5,000 people. We went out there and preached. Well, today, Nicasio's pastor of the church there. They have 55 baptized believers. They've built their own building with their own money. I may have put a total of $2 or $3 into it. Put a lot of sweat, though. A lot of door-to-door visitation. A lot of telling a lot of people about Jesus. But let me tell you something, folks. It's worth it. I want to say tonight that if you want to have that hope, if you want to have that peace, if you want to have that joy, if you want to reach the people, you have to have Christ in your heart first. And I want to tell you something. One person makes the difference. One person makes the difference. One person from Suchil was in Veracruz, in Boca del Rio, Veracruz. That one person was given a gospel tract. That one person was invited to church. That one person received Christ as his personal Savior. Today, that one person has become the pastor of that church there. He has 55 baptized believers in his church. They have about 35 other people that attend. Some of them already saved, but not baptized yet. They've started a mission out of that church in a town about 10 miles from them. And they have about 40 people in their mission. And they said their goal is to, within 2 years, have that church, that mission into a church, and have them a pastor trained. Let me tell you, folks, that's what it's all about. One person makes the difference. You make the difference. You do. You make the difference for your neighbors. You make the difference for eternity. For everybody you tell or you don't tell about Jesus Christ. There's a lot more of the message I would like to have preached tonight, but our time is out. I would like to encourage you to look to Jesus. I'd like to encourage you to behold the Lamb of God, for He takes away the sin of the world. If you look to Jesus, He will help you. When you have problems, look to the Lord. But what the most thing I want to encourage you, being that I know most of you are probably saved tonight, I'd like to encourage you to be that Jesus that your neighbors see. Because they don't read their Bible, they read you. And your walk talks more than your talk talks. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. So remember, out there's people that are beholding you. When they behold you, are they beholding the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Are they beholding the one that gives them hope? Or are they just beholding another man and another woman? What are they beholding? Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you and we thank you for your goodness to us. Dear God, tonight, there's folks here that probably there's folks here that aren't saved. I pray, dear God, that you would speak to that person's heart and help them to realize their need for salvation and receive you as Lord and Savior tonight. There's folks here, Heavenly Father, that are not serving you. They're not being a good witness at all. Their life is a mess. It's all wrecked and ruined and tattered. Their life does not exemplify you in any way. But God, you can speak to their heart, and I ask you to tonight, and cause them to repent of their lifestyle, of their way they're living, of the things they're doing, and come back to you who saved them. And help them to live for you. And shine their light so bright that everyone will see Christ way more than they see them. Oh God, please tonight do that work. And if there's someone here that you would call to go to the regions beyond, oh the Lord, there would be just, I mean, it'd be so great. Because Lord, the fields are so full of ripe fruit. People that are ready to listen. People that are looking for a way to get to heaven as David was. And somebody needs to be there to tell them. So God calls someone to go tonight, please. Bless now the invitation in the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. I'd like us to stand, please, for a minute with every head bowed and every eye closed. I would like to just ask one simple question as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, Brother Dave, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven when I die. I'm not really sure I'm saved. I'm not really sure that I'm going to heaven, but I sure would like to be sure tonight. If you're here and you're not really sure you would like to be, would you raise your hand? Is there anyone? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to be. Okay, and we're going to be singing now in just a second. And if you're here and your heart's not right with God, you need to get it right. I want you to come to this altar tonight and get it right. Get right with God so that people can see Christ in you, okay? And tonight, if you're here and God's calling you to go to the work, come down and let it be known. If you have a burden on your heart, just come to the altar and pray tonight too. Heavenly Father, bless the invitation in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. We can sing page
number 8.
As we do, on the first verse, just come on down.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne.
Pray for our brother here. He's concerned about the blind people, and they need the word to be listened to and to be read. And that's the truth. I've met many a blind person that's never heard the gospel. I've told them, many of them, about Jesus Christ. We have some blind people in our church in Mexico that we've been able to lead to Christ. But the only way they can read is by their ears or by the tips of their fingers. And there's The Braille Bibles are not available in Spanish readily. They cost very much. In fact, they cost over $200 a piece. But we do have cassettes. We give them the Bible on cassette, and what a blessing it is to them. That is a needed ministry, folks. So y'all pray for this young fellow's burden. And y'all get a burden, too, for the people that need their special ministries, okay?